Hey, do you guys like video game news and commentary? Do you like it twice a week? Do you like it in half-hour chunks? Do you like me? Oh man, do I have a combination for you. Check out the new video game podcast on the Frog Pants Network called Boop, B-O-O-P. You can find it at frogpants.com/boop. All of the subscription information is there. You get it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, we got you covered. That's video game news you can use on the Boop Show, twice a week on the Frog Pants Network. Go to frogpants.com/boop for more. Thanks, everyone. Coming up on TMS, what's up in Vegas?
How much would you pay to look like Ken?
11 things about the Beatles you likely do not know.
1 week later, and the 70s hits keep spinning.
Batman versus Superman got bumped.
Arnold says he knows what's up in the new Terminator movie.
Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What did you think about the ride?
It was great. And apparently, I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news because I'm a kid, and apparently every time, apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
It's the Powerball.
Tell me about the ride. What did you think about the ride?
Well, it was great.
Why?
Because apparently you're spinning around, and apparently every time you get dizzy.
Yeah?
The slowest dudes get dizzy.
Is it fun?
Yeah, and I've never, ever been on live television. I never, ever be on live television.
Are you excited?
Yeah, and apparently I already went down the super slide. When I went down the one, I was scared half to death.
Can you call me back?
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Am I still here? Hello?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for Thursday, the 7th of August, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett in Vegas.
Apparently, yes. Apparently, I'm in Vegas.
Apparently, when Grandpa gives me the thing, that kid is a riot, dude.
Totally funny.
What a cute kid. He says things like,
I don't watch the news.
I don't watch the news. He's just such a cutie.
He's like not at all fazed by this whole thing.
No, they hand him this microphone. Yeah. It was one of those crappy local, like, you know, hey, we're at the fair. What's going on at the local fair thing? And they just found this kid, and he just held that microphone and looked into the camera. He sounded like one of those guys doing, like, hurricane coverage in Florida. He was so into it. Listen to this one.
Apparently, the waves
I've never been on live television before.
It's just so, like, like an old man trapped in a little kid's body.
Oh, my God.
Clearly raised by his grandfather, because, you know, mentioned his grandfather anyway, but that's clearly his
grandfather
influence.
Doesn't let him change the channel until after Powerball.
No. That's too good. So Brian's in a car, man. You're in a car.
I am, yeah. So this was about the only place I could find where I'd have a lot more control over the sounds that you hear coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
If I was in the hotel itself. So I'm staying at the Luxor. I'm actually looking at it right now. I'm on the top level of the parking garage, and I can see the Luxor right in front of me here. But if I were inside that, all you'd be hearing is Katy Perry music, and we can't have that. I don't think we've paid royalties for Katy Perry.
No. YouTube would shut us down on the video side for sure. Plus you just have the whole like that's going on all day.
Oh, yeah.
We've tried this before, and it seems like the car is a pretty good idea. So you're a real trooper. You're a trooper, dude. You're an hour behind me even. It's like early there. Like no one's up in Vegas right now, right?
I know. No, and as soon as I'm done with the show, I'm driving over to DePars and getting some pancakes because I hear they're out of this world at DePars.
DePars, where is this? Explain. Where's the location?
That's on Fremont Street, so it's downtown. So right now I'm on the very, very south end of the strip. So it's going to be a haul. Yeah. But from what I hear, these pancakes are worth it.
Okay. Well, I'll have to remember that when I'm there in January.
Or damn fine pancakes.
When am I going? December. No, sorry. December is when I'm going.
You got some time.
Christmas pancakes for Scott in Vegas. So, well, that's cool. So you got there yesterday and followed the drive. I saw the clip-clop video or photo, which made me laugh. It was an awesome to chronicle your trip. But anything funny or interesting happened once you got there? And Vegas is usually a great place for, you know, weird crap going down.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, usually it is. It was a pretty... I mean, it was eventful. It was an eventful evening, but nothing out of the ordinary. So it was like, you know, we got in, we checked into the hotel, then went over to the Cosmopolitan and basically just hung out there for a while at a bar called the Bookin' Stage over there, which is really, really nice. Really nice bar with handcrafted drinks. Stayed there for, yikes, probably 3 hours.
Oh, geez.
Slow playing the slot machine or slow playing the video poker. Actually, you know, coming out, we both came out ahead, just sitting there slow playing the video poker so that they kept bringing us drinks.
Yeah.
And we were chatting up with a woman who, all right, admittedly, when we first saw her and the way she was dressed and the way she looked, platinum blonde hair, makeup, you know, well put together, sitting in a hotel in a city where she actually lives.
Yeah.
And just looking like she's waiting.
Okay.
We may have made some assumptions. We didn't voice those assumptions.
No, I understand. Sometimes things look the way they look. I understand.
Exactly.
Sure.
But her dad apparently used to own, we asked her what she does. She actually works in the oil industry, which has got to be very difficult looking the way that she looks working in the oil industry. I imagine that being what I consider to be a mostly male dominated industry, she probably gets judged a lot.
Oh, I imagine so. Yeah. Assuming our stereotype of the oil industry is correct, I have the same one.
Yeah.
I assume exactly. It's all just oily, greasy men who sit around whistling at women. That's all I have in my head.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you just basically take them off the girders, off the construction equipment, move them onto oil derricks and rigs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And something about drinking a milkshake and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Rough.
I drink your milkshake.
Milkshake. Anyway, well, that's so you got to know her? Is that what went down?
We got to know her. Actually, she sat there for the entire time we were there.
Yeah.
And it turned into a game to look at the rest of the people around this big circular bar where we're sitting and figure out everybody else's story about, like, all right, where they come from, what are they doing, who are they here to meet, how long is it going to last? And of course, every story, every woman that's sitting there has to be an escort.
Sure.
And every old man there has to be creepy and and trying to pick up an escort. So basically, those were the stories of everybody who came to the bar.
Yeah. Well, and so did any of these people? The thing I like about Vegas usually is you end up with just behaviors that you would normally not see in a civilized place.
It sounds like
they were all just fine. Everyone just chilling. No big deal.
Just chilling. Lots of, you know, selfies still. You see a lot of selfies. I mean, I guess, all right, I shouldn't talk because I did post a couple on Twitter.
Yeah. They were good, though. They were solid.
The man knows how to take a selfie.
I'd say, yeah. But
yeah, I mean, you'd see, you know, the old skeevy man pick up the escort, and then they'd take a selfie with him. And then... they'd buy a drink, and then the two of them would disappear off, you know, like running off together. But it was clearly they had just met.
Yeah.
And then they went off and disappeared for a little while.
Vegas is weird that way.
Yeah.
Just the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect?
No.
You know,
but
that's a bill of goods and you're aware of it.
Exactly. And as long as you just assume that it's an old skeevy guy and a prostitute, then, you know, you can't go wrong. Then every story's a winner.
No. Yeah. And it simplifies everything, really. Vegas makes more sense.
He's a police chief, and she's a hooker with a heart of gold.
Exactly. Oh, that's I love those stories. They always turn out great. Well, that's great. I'm excited to hear how the rest of it plays out for you as you're there all weekend.
Yeah.
You actually drive back Monday, right?
Monday, yeah. So
we don't know.
Yeah,
what we're
doing. Got plenty of time here, which means I'm sure plenty of stories. Saw Same Sex Mary last night.
Oh.
Saw them perform at the Griffin,
great.
And they are as excellent as ever.
Yeah. As you would expect, James and Svet knocking it out. That's what they do.
Yep, exactly. And good venue. Well, pretty good venue. Mm. The Griffin has, it's changed in the years that I've known James and Svet. The very first place I ever met James and Svet was in that very same room that they were performing at the Griffin so many years ago. And the venue, they've changed that room to the point where there's a lot of echo and a lot of, you know, I guess I won't go into it, but it's gotten worse.
Yeah. Who's texting you like crazy? Who is that?
Oh, shoot. It's Twitter. Let me see here. I wonder if I can turn all those off. Notifications there.
Oh, yeah. You definitely can turn those off.
Yeah.
Nice. That was Daryl again. I was going to wring his neck when we bring him on. Like, what are you doing, man?
Come on.
I got to give a quick thanks before I forget out to Jonathan Strickland, listener of the show, friend of the program, friend of the network, who sent me. You remember how he told us about his parents wrote all those Star Trek books? Do you remember that whole conversation?
Yeah.
He sent me a stack of those. And they're signed by his parents with great little lines like "Beam us up, Scotty," and "Mr. Scott, full power to the shuttles," or, you know, all these like funny Star Trek lines, and signed all these books. And I'm totally going to read them. It was the nicest little surprise. So I don't know if he's listening,
cool.
But Jonathan, that was the coolest thing, man. Thank you so much for that.
I think I see him in the chat room.
Is he in there? Oh, cool. That was so cool. Yeah. Such a nice gesture. And my daughter flipped out. She loves this crap. So she's going to read them back to front or front to back. She reads them back to front. She's from Japan. Hey, look at this. Also, we had a new spoiler show last night. Myself and Justin Robert Young put it up on the feed. We talked about Guardians of the Galaxy and at length, and I think people will really enjoy it. And there's a couple of people confused about what that show is. This guy, for example, this morning on Twitter said, spoiler show, should I listen to this with my ears covered? I'm confused. No, dude, the point is, it's a total spoiler show where we talk about everything about that movie. If you haven't seen the movie yet, I recommend not listening to it yet. Listen to it when we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or when you're done, when you've seen it. Anyway, it was a good time. We had a great time, and people should definitely go download that, check it out, and see what they think. More info at frogpants.com. All right, let's bring Daryl in. Let's bring Texter Junior in.
Yeah, at least this will keep his fingers off the texting.
Right? Jeez.
App. Yeah.
So let's do that real quick. Daryl, here he is. So far, this is all working out. This is all fine.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, your lag is nothing. It's like no big deal. The LTE's holding up. Is it hot in that car? That's the only worry I have, is that you're hot.
I've actually got the car running. The Kia Soul is nice and quiet. Mm. So I've actually got the car running, AC on a very low setting. So it's keeping me cool.
You think the hobo trapped under your car is okay with it running? You think he's better off there with it running or no?
Well, he's in the shade. I mean, you know.
That's right.
Can't really complain about that. Right.
Oh, beggars can't be choosers, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
The St. Louis Arch Rivals are heading to Dallas, Texas to take part in the Gay Softball World Series from September 22nd through 28th. And we are looking to raise money to help offset the cost of new jerseys. Please visit GoFundMe.com/DallasOrBust. Donations of $50 or more will get you an official St. Louis Arch Rivals t-shirt.
The Gay Softball World Series. Check that out.
Yes.
Who knew that was
a thing? I had no idea, but St. Louis Arch Rivals.
That's right. Good job, guys.
Sounds like they're buying New Jersey, too.
I know, right? They've got
go to Dallas and buy New Jersey.
They've got grand plans over there. On the line with us is Daryl Skeels. He is here to do Trek trivia. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm having lots of fun just buzzing people's phones and torturing
them.
Yeah,
I can tell.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's like little evil child over there pushing these buttons. It's pretty fun to watch.
I know when to stop poking the cobra with the stick.
Before Brian strikes. Well, good. Right. Well, it's this will be fun because we're doing this audio thing again. And it's our last one. Well, maybe he's going to do more. I don't know. How do you feel about these questions that are like, here's a clip. What episode is it from? Like an occasional thing or an all the time thing? What do you think?
Oh, Well, as long as he wants to do them, I'm good with them. I think they're fun.
Maybe they are injected, maybe a couple per week, like two normals and two recorded or something.
Yeah, it's definitely a good change of pace to have those.
I agree.
Cool.
I completely agree. Yeah. Now, Brian, you don't have any food with you, right?
I have a bag of David sunflower seeds, but that probably wouldn't do much for us.
Yeah. So I'm going to say we're going to hold off until Monday to do more food testing.
Tuesday.
Sorry. And everybody who sent stuff in, just know that we got you covered. We'll get
That's
to your
right.
food. Don't worry. We'll consume what thou hast sent us. Daryl, let's get to your question. What is this sound clip from is the question? That's all it is this week. You didn't add any other extra hoo-ha. It just says, not even a homie in there. It just says that. So here's your clip. Listen carefully, and then let's see how we do. Here we go.
Fascinating. This atmosphere is remarkably similar to your 20th century. Moderately industrialized pollution, containing substantial amounts of carbon monoxide, and partially consumed hydrocarbons.
The word was smog.
Yes, I believe that was the term. I had no idea you were that much of a historian, Doctor.
I am not, Mr. Spock. I was simply trying to stop you from giving us a whole lecture on the subject.
Isn't smog... It's not... Oh, fog is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, fog would still be with us, right? They'd still have some fog. Yeah, so smog. I have an idea what this probably is, but and you probably do too. If I do, you surely know.
Well, I have a list of three or four of them.
Well, here are your options. You have four to choose from. Is it A, bread and circuses, B, patterns of force, C, a piece of the action, or D, the city on the edge of tomorrow?
You mean the city on the edge of forever.
Or forever. Did I say tomorrow? Whoops.
Yeah.
Crap. Emily Blunt on the mind. I think those are pretty much all of the let's go back to Earth period stuff episodes, or at least that's a lot of them. So maybe it's more tricky than I think. But those are your options. While you consider them, why don't you tell us who's having a birthday in Star Trek land and why?
Well, because he was born, and that would be Keurig Lofton. He's 36 today.
Keurig Lofton.
He played Jake Sisko on Deep Space Nine.
Ah, Jake Sisko. What's he up to these days? Do we know?
He just went to the Star Trek convention in Las Vegas. I know that.
Oh, really? That was last week, right? Or something, I think?
Yeah, just last week.
Usually it's paired up pretty well with this thing, the trivia thing that I'm part of.
Thomas Hobson.
Was he wearing a vest and pants that were pulled up way too high?
Could be.
Hold on. Oh, what's his name? Keurig Lofton? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at him now. Definitely 36 looking. I'm trying to see what else.
Now there's a guy who looks like he's 36.
He is not really doing much else. There's some Seventh Heaven credits in 03 and in 05, finishing up production on a hip-hop CD. 2014, the disc still hasn't come out. he paired it as a character, Tommy Boyer, in the Darkroom episode of CBS's CSI Miami, which aired in 2006, and that is the last anybody has seen of him. So, man, hope things are okay for Keurig Lofton. That's a strange name. All right, well... Nice job. I guess since we're not eating anything, why don't you just figure this damn question out? Where do you think that clip came from? Bread and circuses, patterns of force, a piece of the action, a city on the edge of forever, or...
I don't watch the news.
All right, which one do you think it is?
Oh, it could be... I used to be really, really good at this when I was
growling.
Sorry, what?
Nicely done.
I used to be good at this when I was about 16.
What, picking, hearing a clip and then knowing where it came from?
Yeah, like you could play 2 seconds or even less.
And oh, like name that tune, but with nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm lousy with name that tune, by the way. So like we know where Brian is right now. So Brian, okay, Brian, name this tune, and I'm going to do it in just a couple seconds, all right? So name this tune. Right.
That's A Little Less Conversation by JXL and Elvis Presley.
You are correct. The best Vegas song as far as I'm concerned.
It is pretty damn good.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Well, we've proven Brian still got it. Still has it.
Oh, still got it.
Still got it. Yep.
After all these years.
He's a dynamo. All right, Brian or Daryl. What do you say, man? What do you think?
I'm going to say, well, it's for sure not the last one.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's Bread and Circuses.
And that was that the Hitler one or no? Or the Nazi one? No.
No, that was Patterns of Force.
Okay.
And A Piece of the Action was the gangster one.
But Bread and Circuses is which one then? I don't remember.
That was the Roman one where they had machine guns.
Oh, right. Yeah. Which one was the little kid one?
That was a piece of the action. Oh, with the okay. little kid. Oh, no, you mean where all the little kids?
Yeah, the kids run the world.
Oh, that was Miri.
Oh, okay, different deal. But that was still a go back in Earth time or find an Earth-like planet or something where they were still living in the 20th century or something.
That was on my list of things that I thought that might be.
Yeah. That would seem like a money good pick. I couldn't remember because Spock. I don't remember a lot of conversation between Spock and McCoy in the city on the edge of forever.
That's because they were looking for McCoy through the whole thing.
That's right. He was gone.
Pretty much. Yeah.
He was in the forever part. So you say Bread and Circuses. Of these four options, you think that one gives you your best chance of victory?
I'm thinking so.
All right. Well, let's find out for real. Judges, is it that?
Congratulations. Oh. You're a winner.
Mr. Perfect Week here.
Wow.
Answer is A. Kirk, Spock, and McCoy beam down to a planet that resembles what the Roman Empire might be like in 20th century. Spock and McCoy get into a small argument over smog. Here's another clip of the funds. There you go, right here.
Hard to get it out, though. Oh. Mine's still kind of buried in there.
I really do feel the cocaine coming.
Yo, home soy, what up?
Link bait, Lonka Donkas or something. Man meat party.
Maybe I'm smoking a crack.
He praises the pipe, yo.
I've never been screwed by a lady.
I swallowed the pole. If you want to get cancer, Utah's a place to get it.
I don't know why that's in there, but thank you, Mike. Why are we playing that of me?
How did we get to that?
I don't know. I never preview these things, so I've never. And he knows that. So it just happens the way it happens. All right. Well, that was a fine time for all. Daryl, good job. Way to go. You've done a service, really, to your fellow people. Do you have any? Oh no! Before you should tell people where to find you. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's always entertaining there. Always something to say. Showing off his phaser build, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, it's fun to get in like Twitter fights, not fights, but just little, you know,
discussions.
Right. Those are fun with Daryl. I have to admit, I have a good time with those.
Yeah, they are fun.
And what was the thing the other day? I don't even remember now.
Sharknado.
Oh, Sharknado. Whether Sharknado was a piece of crap or not, or whether Daryl had been sucked into the hype machine while the rest of us stayed clear. And I still stand behind that I stayed clear. All right. Daryl, let's get you out of here. Oh, and also this week in Trek.com and the Grumpy Cast. All right, tell us a game. You have a game?
Yes, I have something. Is this a Star Trek thing or a stupid thing I made up?
All right, here's your theme. It's that kid again.
I've never been on live television before.
Oh, I love this kid.
I think he's annoying. We should have another Twitter battle.
You think he's annoying? I think he's cute as a freaking button. You got to watch the video. He's so funny. All right. So I'm sorry. What was it? A thing you made up or a Star Trek thing? Got it.
Yep. Crimson Alert.
Crimson Alert. Oh, my gosh.
Crimson Alert. We got faked by Condition Green.
Yeah. We did,
and
right?
And Blue Alert. Crimson.
Crimson Alert. No, because that's the same as red. Why would there be
a
variation?
Why would they have a differentiation? Oh, this is Crimson Alert.
Yeah, we're going to say no. That's a thing you made up.
Fakeroo.
Oh, I thought I could fool you with that one. Yeah, I made that up.
It's like too much of a granular change from red.
Well, it could have been the pack leds maybe had Crimson Alert.
Yeah, Crimson Alert.
Beige Alert.
Beige Alert would be awesome. That's a warning that Gene Roddenberry is about to walk on set is the Beige Alert.
That's right. Yeah.
Nicely done, Daryl. Good job and way to go. Let's get over here to where we now play this thing right here.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Hero Movie Podcast, a weekly podcast focusing exclusively on comic book and superhero movies, brought to you by a film school graduate, an art director, and an amateur comic book historian. Find it at heromoviepodcast.com or simply Hero Movie Podcast wherever you find podcasts.
That seems all right to me.
Sure.
All right. I was going to try to find Vegas news, but there was no good stuff. Because, you know, while you're there, I figured why not? In fact,
why not?
Let's just check this morning and make sure nothing's
changed. It's probably a good thing I'm not in Vegas news.
Like, yeah, right? Oh.
Arvada man.
Bald tall man from Arvada found with a hooker lady. Let's see. Okay, here you go. Video shows dramatic Las Vegas flash flood rescue. I guess they've been having some flash flooding there.
It was flooding. Yeah, you couldn't, you would not be able to tell today. But yeah, a few days ago there were torrential downpours and flash flooding on the strip. It was crazy.
We've been having the same weather, and we had a landslide up north, probably about half hour, about an hour from me. And it this slow moving landslide from a from the side of the mountain just slowly came down and just destroyed these like super rich fancy homes there.
Just
ran them right over, man. They have insurance; they'll be fine. And nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt. That's the important bit.
That's the important thing. Yes.
But you know, it's almost worse. It's almost better if the thing just came crashing down. Well, I guess not for escape reasons, but if it just comes crashing down and tears everything up, it's like, wow, there was nothing you could do. But this one, you have to just sit there and watch it slowly destroy it.
Right, like it's just slowly absorbing your house. Yep. You've got, at least you've got time to get a few of the important things out and get yourself out. But
yeah,
wow,
it's bad, man. Sad. It's bad. All right, here's your lead. The newest human Ken doll spent $50,000 to be a human puppet. Brazilian model Celso Santibanes, age 20, can now compete with the likes of the human Ken doll, Justin Jedica, who pulls off the creepiest, most plastic-looking version of a real-life doll yet. He told the Mirror that he has spent more than $50,000 to perfect his... Oh, gosh, I can almost feel that vibration.
Yeah, no, I'm holding it, too. That was the Trek Nerd. That was Daryl tweeting and using me in the tweet.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. Good job.
And I tried to turn those notifications off. They're not turning off.
Oh, that's weird. I have to do that just generally, or else my phone would just go freak out all day.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you get mentioned all the time.
Undergoing four surgeries on his nose, chin, chest, and jaw. Get the work done so he might look more like Barbie's perfect manicured boyfriend. I wonder if he got rid of his wiener, like Ken has no wiener.
just a nub.
Yeah, a little nubber there, like a little bump.
Fleshy bump.
A hint of a wiener. It's not entirely clear what that means, but hey, he's single. The human Ken Bachelor is looking for his own, for his Barbie. He wrote on his Facebook page, "Who wants to be my girlfriend? After all, no one's happy alone," he says. Oh, yeah, that's not creepy at all, you weirdo.
No.
I don't know if you can see this.
I'd take any woman at this point, thank you.
Can you see this photo where you're at?
No, I tried clicking on it, and there's just not enough of a connection for me to be able to see this guy, unfortunately.
I'm going to do a thing that might help you. Just, okay. I don't know if this will work or not, but let's just
see.
You're
going to Skype it to me or tweet it to me? Or,
I don't know. What do you think my best chance is? Probably a tweet, right?
Right.
So let's do this. Let's see what happens.
All right.
Coverville. Okay. All right. We'll stick it in here. Okay. All right. That should be there. Right there.
Yeah, that's you right there.
Yeah. Look at that guy.
Clicking it. Let's see. Oh, it will not open while...
Oh.
It will not open while Skype is open. It's funny. It's like I can't even... If I go to the settings on my phone... I can't even navigate around there without without it going back to Skype to say, no, you're in a call. Weird. Don't mess around with the notification center. Yeah, who knows?
What the heck, man? Skype just continually bringing us trouble.
Trouble.
All right, well, let's close this here.
Oh, hold on, I got it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, my God, that guy does not look human.
No, he doesn't. It's frightening. I don't like it one bit.
No.
We'll put it in. I guess we could link this in the chat room, guys. Here you go. You have a look for yourselves there. Oh, gosh. That. Sorry. I just sent them the entire article in text. Sorry. I didn't mean to spam everybody. Oops. Let's see here. 11 things you probably didn't know about the Beatles, Brian.
Okay.
Even if you're a super fan, you like them. Right? You're a fan? You like Beatles?
Oh, I love the Beatles. Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, I'm going
to... If I crane my neck, I can see their rap over at the Mirage. Well, no, I can't. Not from here.
The Beatles concerts were said to be smelly, and the reason they were is they smelled heavily of urine, and they say it's because it was overexcited girls who would pee.
No way.
That's what this says.
Oh my God. The audience, seats at the Ed Sullivan Theater must reek.
Well, they must be terrible, right?
Yeah.
This according to Bob Geldof, who said this to Q Magazine in 2010, because he was
really?
There.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's weird. Here's another good one. George Harrison lost his virginity. This is, you know him. He's the Got My Mind Set on You. You know him.
He's the quiet Beatle.
Yeah, the Beatle that didn't say much, but then made the worst single of all time. That one. George Harrison lost his virginity while the other Beatles secretly watched. They cheered him when he was done.
Oh, geez.
Gross.
That's a little awkward.
Gross. Here's one. The Beatles officially broke up at Disney World. Did you know that?
Hold on. Did at one point Ringo say something like, well, I'd like to be watching, but something's in the way.
No, but your story's better. The Beatles officially broke up at Disney World. It says, when John hung up the phone, he looked wistfully out the window. I could almost see him replaying the entire Beatles experience in his mind. He finally picked up his pen, and in the unlikely backdrop of the Polynesian Village Hotel in Disney World, ended the greatest rock and roll band in history by simply scrawling John Lennon at the bottom of the page. Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Jeez.
Yeah, Disneyland. That's weird.
That is. Nobody breaks up at Disneyland.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Here's one for you. The
right.
Beatles planned to start their own utopian community in the Greek islands. They were going to move there. Oh, this is during their hippie phase.
I've heard about this, yeah.
Yeah. They were going to go. Let's see. I'm trying to find this. McCartney says, it's a good job we didn't do it, because it's an interesting way to say that. It's a good job we didn't do it, because anyone who tries those ideas realized eventually there would always be arguments. There would always be who has to do the washing tub and whose turn is it to clean the latrines and so on. So they gave up on it.
Wow.
I think that just comes down to, dude, we're the biggest band in history. We have all the money we need. What are we doing here?
Right. We don't need what do we need an island for?
Yeah. What kind of LSD were we smoking that day? a dentist introduced the Beatles to LSD by secretly slipping it into their coffee.
Nice.
Dentist.
We've replaced the Beatles' coffee with LSD. Let's see if they notice.
Now they want to buy an island in the Greek Isles. Hmm. Yeah, they liked it, I guess, so they kept going. Let's see. Six. Soviet Russians had to listen to the Beatles' music on converted X-ray scans. What?
What?
Let's see. They were banned in the Soviet Union at the time, all right?
Okay.
They were seen as bad for the people, which made acquiring their vinyl during the Beatlemania very costly in the back market and even dangerous. An ingenious workaround was created where music could be cheaply imprinted into X-ray scans. They were taken from the hospital dumpsters or bought. These scans were called Music on the Bones, along with other nicknames. This practice started in the 1950s. Apparently, Beatlemania caused these X-ray records to spike in popularity. So they were these round, it would cut these X-rays.
Really?
And you could engrave into those the album grooves.
The grooves, basically the grooves of the vinyl.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that
no
nuts?
Idea.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I like that story. Who knows if any of this is real, but... You know.
Right, right, exactly.
Seven, after bathing in urinals for almost a year, the Beatles got kicked out of Germany for lighting a condom on fire, all right?
Oh, jeez.
That's good.
Back in the Cavern Club days.
Yeah. The Beatles were the first to do many things, including, this is, I guess you can document this, featuring the Devil Horns rock hand on an album cover. It's the first time ever that showed up on an album cover.
Really?
And it's Ringo behind the head of Paul throwing the goat horns.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Was it...
Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Okay.
But I'm trying to see. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the Yellow Submarine cover specifically for that single.
Right. The cartoon drawing of them.
Yeah, that weird-ass art style. Ugh.
Yeah.
Still gives me the willies.
The Peter Max. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
All right.
I've never liked it.
It wasn't Devil Horn. I mean, well, okay. You know, sure.
Well, according
he's the first person to make that gesture. Okay.
Yeah, that's on a record album, to be specific.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Let's see. A teenager in Maryland started Beatlemania in the U.S. Well, that's interesting. Marsha Albert, after seeing a news segment about the band, she called a local radio station and said, why can't we have music like that here in America? The DJ tracked down a copy of I Want to Hold Your Hand. The station played the record, causing demand to skyrocket, and other stations that play the music as well. Worth noting, a DJ named Dick Biondi, attempted to make the Beatles happen by playing them on stations in Chicago and L.A., but the songs didn't take off in either city. Perhaps that's in part because Biondi spelled the band B-E-A-T-T-L-E-S. Who knows?
Yeah.
But their point is they think this girl calling in that station is what kicked it off. So who knows?
Weird. I mean, it's not like they wouldn't have gotten airplay somewhere.
Right, yeah, someplace, right?
Yeah.
Last two here. John Lennon was day drunk when he met Paul McCartney. There's that.
Day tripping.
Yeah, day tripping. And then finally, the Vatican's official publication. So they have like a regular, you know, Pope publication or something. Popecation, I would call it. They named Revolver as the best pop album of all time.
Really?
I don't know why they bother with that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree that that is, that and Rubber Soul are like the two, you know, my two favorites, but why would the Pope, you know, everybody's got to have lists.
Well, it says here, the announcement came in 2010, some article. This is despite the Vatican's famously condemned the Beatles for being satanic after John Lennon said the band was more popular than Jesus. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The Vatican forgave the Beatles later in 2010, which Ringo Starr thought was unnecessary. So I don't think it's
peace
necessary.
And love. Peace and love.
Where's the Blu-ray caveman? That's what I want to know. sponsored today by HelloFresh.com. Go to HelloFresh.com. Yay! Find out if they deliver this fantastic food to you. Farm fresh ingredients straight to your door. The code to use is, there's no code name, Morning Stream. That'll get you 50% off with our friends at HelloFresh.com. You can make a healthy meal in 30 minutes or less, created by real chefs with real food. Go check them out now at HelloFresh.com. Okay? Come on. Just freaking get off your
ass.
Would you
just do it already?
Gosh dang it.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Go X. It's a podcast fueled by a potent mix of Scottish and American banter. Since no other podcast in the world covers these topics, we thought it would be a great idea to discuss what's going on in the world of tech and gaming. Tune in at 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time every Sunday. Just Google VTW and you'll find our website. Something, something today.
I like the Scottish part. I'm a big fan of the Scottish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could use more of that.
Show X. Is it really called Show X?
Show X.
Wow.
Show X. I'm going to Google that. The X Show, the Show X. There's a TV show called The X Show.
See, that's what I'm worried about, is that it's going to be very, very hard to find.
Porny. Maybe a little porny.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
And Scottish tech and gaming porn.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we want in our life. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, that's cool. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. And for some reason, Miley Cyrus's underwear is on my screen. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. They talk about that on Show X.
Yeah, Show X is all into that. So look at this here. We got your veteran rockers kicking A. I was just thinking this yesterday. I was listening to Redbone.
Oh, yeah. Because, Come and Get Your Love.
Yeah. Come get your love. And it's all because of that movie, right?
Of course.
And they're just having this huge resurgence. Retro songs are dominating the Billboard 200 chart.
Wow.
And a rock band like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers notched its very first number one, which they emerged in 76, by the way, at the forefront of the Heartland rock scene. They topped the chart this week with Hypnotic Eye. This is their brand new one. But everyone's saying they think that this is all being propelled, including Clapton's new effort, is all being propelled by everyone's sudden resurgent interest in late 60s, early 70s rock and roll from that movie.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I mean, I think that there's, you know, while that stuff is really popular, Tom Petty and Eric Clapton haven't, like, disappeared from the public eye. When they come out with a new album, it's going to be popular. It's going to be huge. And people aren't saying, well, I like them because they're from the 70s.
Yeah, it does feel like this may be a little bit contrived as far as why they're having success.
Yeah.
I mean, a number one album, I don't know, maybe that is a big deal and maybe wouldn't have happened. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say. But, dude, Tom Petty, he was in the Postman. I don't know if you remember that. You remember that? He was in the Postman.
I didn't see the Postman, but I did see King of the Hill. And I know he was great in that.
He was really great in that. He played What's-Her-Name's boyfriend.
Luann's.
Luann's boyfriend. And I can't remember. Oh, gosh. I can't remember his name, though. Is that another tweet? You got another mention?
That was my wife text messaging me.
Oh, that's nice. How's she doing?
Yes. She's doing all right, apparently. Tristan doesn't want to go to work today.
Oh. But people need saving.
People need to be guarded. Their lives need to be guarded.
Right.
In the pool.
That may have been me right then.
That one was you.
Yeah.
Cover bill, bzz, thanks. You're bringing this on yourself, Johnson.
I know, and he's, I just realized by me doing that, we're probably encouraging something we don't want. So I take it all back.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I take it all back. All right. But, oh, geez. See, this is the problem. Batman versus Superman got bumped.
Oh, really?
For the second time this year, it got bumped. Warner Brothers has changed the release date for Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Oh, man, I did it, didn't I?
Yeah, that was Andreas now. He's texting. Stop it, you
great,
people.
Great. Good job, everybody. Dawn of Justice Studio announced Wednesday that Zack Snyder's film would arrive on March 25th, 2016. This is 6 weeks before its previous release date of May 6th, 2016. So it's actually a bump back, but it's a bump forward from something else, which was originally July 17th, 2015, which was my birthday. Jerks. The new calendar position of the third overall for Snyder's Man of Steel. The latest shift gets Dawn of Justice away from Captain America 3, preventing a superhero clash between DC Comics and Marvel.
Wow.
And I would say Star Wars.
Batman, right. Batman versus Superman versus Captain America versus Luke Skywalker.
Versus everything. I mean, this now puts it right around the time that the Warcraft movie was bumped to, so I don't know what that means for them.
Oh, yeah. Versus Thrall.
Yeah, because they had bumped theirs to get away from Star Wars as well. And I don't know what that is going to mean for everybody. But, yeah, going to be a weird couple of years of movies. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And delays.
I can't wait. This is
delays are
heaven right now.
Oh, I know, right? And the delays are kind of out of control. Like, video games right now are experiencing some of the worst delays ever. Anything of note is being pushed to 2015. Like, 2014 is becoming is this weird wasteland of nothing.
Weird.
And I don't know why. Just an odd year. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you familiar with his work?
He's that guy. He was Hercules in Hercules in New York, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that his
thing?
Yeah,
he's famous for that. Yeah, that's the one.
Nothing else?
That's the one that really propelled him. I mean, there's a small bits and other things, but that was really a big break.
That and Red Dawn. I think Red Dawn was his big movie.
Was he in Red Dawn?
Or not Red Dawn, Red Heat.
Oh, Red Heat, right.
Red Heat.
I wish he was in Red Dawn. Suddenly Red Dawn would be a lot better, yeah. Wolverines!
Go, Wolverines!
Get to the Joppa. Schwarzenegger announced rap on the latest sequel to The Terminator. It's called Terminator Genisys, G-E-N-I-S-Y-S. That's not a typo, by the way. That's how they mean to spell that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
I know, I'm kind of having a hard time with it. Let's see. More than most people, I understand the burning desire to get, this is the article speaking at HitFix.
Yeah.
More great Terminator film out of the weirdest, most haphazardly run mega franchise in modern film. After all, that 90 or the 84 film remains one of the greatest indie action films ever made. Terminator 2 is, I think, the one you want, though. It's a great action movie.
Yeah.
3 was garbage. I didn't see Salvation with Batman in it. Did you see Terminator Salvation?
I saw Terminator Salvation, and it was entertaining, but forgettable. Like, I remember watching it, but I couldn't tell you. I just remember some guy moved Christian Bale's lights. That's the only thing I remember about that movie.
Some guy moved his lights?
Some guy moved his lights.
Oh, because good for you. Yeah. I forgot about that. That was the movie where he freaked out.
That's the one. Yeah.
Do I have that?
Oh, good for you.
There's the guy. He's the best.
By the way, I figured out that I had my phone on,
yeah,
or like the display on. If I turned the display off, I was worried that it would hang up the Skype call. It has not. And because of the do not disturb tweets and text messages, none of that's going to get through.
Oh, look at that. Go ahead and do yourselves till you're blue in the face, everybody.
Exactly.
We fixed it.
Tweet all you want.
Yeah. Just fill up his thing. It'll only get him followers. Way to go. Mission accomplished. let's see here. They don't say much about this, except it sounds likely that he's got at least a cameo of some kind. And I just wanted to use this as an opportunity to say this. I do not need a Schwarzenegger... I don't need a Terminator movie with him in it anymore. I don't. We can move on. I'm cool with new stories. I'm great with new characters. All that stuff's great. You do not have to bring him back. Why do you keep doing that?
As a matter of fact, I think it hurts the movie if you bring him back, because there was a time and place for Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator, and pulling him back into that franchise is really just going to, I don't know, not really cheapen it, but that's going to take you right out of the movie. It's like, oh, yeah, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. And any immersement you had in the film, gone.
Yeah, it's the most worst kind of stunt casting ever when you just keep that hanging on for as long as you keep it on. We can have nice things without him in it. It's okay, everybody. And besides, somebody on Twitter made a good point yesterday. They said the problem with Schwarzenegger being in these movies is he increasingly looks like a shrinking Ziploc bag. And I thought, you know what? That's a pretty accurate description of his physicality right now. I am not ageist. I want to see more Arnold movies. He can be in lots of things. He just can't be the chiseled Terminator anymore. And it's okay.
Right.
You know, like toward the end there, nobody was trying to tell Andy Griffith, you better get back to his Andy Taylor weight and, right. and age. Like, come on, let him be who he is now and let us move on.
That might be the best description I've ever heard. A shrinking Ziploc bag.
Isn't that funny? I don't even know why it feels so appropriate. I couldn't explain it, but it works.
Yeah.
All right. That's that. Let's get on to taking a break. Before we do, tweakedaudio.com is here to tell you they love you, and they want you to know that because they're going to save you some money. You want good earbuds at a good price, good audio quality, good warranty, lifetime, in fact, good engineering. All those things matter to you, the consumer, the buyer. So go over there and check them out, tweakedaudio.com. You know about them because we've talked about them a ton. Did you know they're still trying to save you money? 33% off each time you go. Not just one time, not just first time, all the time. 33% off. Use the code STREAM at checkout and they've got your back. Brian, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have Wendy. At least we think so. I've talked to her. We have an email. We think everything's arranged. It's like 5 p.m. over there.
He's sitting in a car in a parking garage somewhere in Sweden.
Could be.
Waiting for this call.
It really could be. It could be that bad. But we'll see That's when we funny. Get there. Before that, though, you've brought music, even though you're remote.
Right, exactly. So Austin emailed in, said, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I've been listening to the morning stream for about a year. I downloaded the previous day's episode just for the bus ride to and from school, and I really enjoy it. Anyway, my birthday is August 7th, and I would like to request a cover of the song SOS by ABBA, more specifically, the cover by Fozzy. It's a great cover of a great song. Thanks, guys, for reading this, and hope you have a great day slash night, Austin."
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Austin. And yeah, happy to play this cover for you. So it, as you mentioned, it is Fozzy and it's a cover of ABBA's SOS. Scott, what album does that come from?
ABBA's, it's called Dancing Queen 3000.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
Just well kidding. It's actually from Fozzy. Or no, Do You Want to Start a War is the album.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think. Let me make sure. Yeah, it says here. Fozzy, SOS, Do You Want to Start a War, it says.
Okay, all right.
Is that right?
You want to build a snowman.
Yeah.
No, I'm
Do You Want to Start a War? I believe you.
That sounds right.
Great.
Excellent.
So we should play it. Here it is. When we come back, we got Wendy, I hope. We hope, man. Just cross your fingers. We'll be back in a sec. Everybody hang tight. We'll be right back.
Happy days, they seem so hard to find. I tried to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good. So good.
fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe.
It's Major Blood in the Cobra Copter. They're after Gung Ho. Get the G.I. Joe Dragonfly Copter. Wild Bill to the rescue.
Major Blood, look.
Let's get out of here. Cobra's turning tail. Wanna live good, buddy?
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe Dragonfly Copter comes with Wild Bill, other figures and equipment, each sold separately from Hasbro.
In the Utah.
Ermere Erd. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back, and we're back. Hello.
All right. Hello.
How's it going for you? You doing all right over there?
Doing okay. There's right. It's funny, every once in a while somebody will walk by the parking, like the level I'm on in the parking garage. Number one, anytime a car goes by, I can feel the whole parking garage kind of shakes. Nice work structurally for the Luxor there.
Yeah.
Number two, whenever somebody walks behind me, they hear me talking and they immediately look over. Oh, she's just getting home. She's just getting back.
Yeah. Rough night on the strip there for her.
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. She had blue hair. How old is she?
She is about 23 and,
All right. Well,
black hair.
There's still time for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's still hope.
She can be saved. all right. Well, good times ahead then. We're going to see if Wendy can get in here. And I'm told she's using her husband's Skype. So I think this will work. There's Adam. You can't see it, but everyone at home can.
Hello.
Oh. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello, yeah.
Wow, weird. She's in Sweden. She's in freaking Sweden or something. Hello.
I am. Do I sound weird?
You sound great.
Oh, good.
You don't have an accent yet or anything. What's going on with
that? Oh, vasha good.
Now, what is it? Okay, let me ask. So let's say you got to go out and you got to get some Cheerios for the kids. All right. Yeah. You're like, oh, we're out of cereal. I got to go out to Hukenbergen or whatever you're living in. And you got to go to some store. How do you ask for cereal? Give us an example.
I say, hey, because that's hello in Swedish.
Yeah.
I say, hey, inte svenska väl, which means not my Swedish is not good.
So you have a little warning, and then I speak in English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I speak in English, and then they respond in perfect English.
Well, because they all have a second language, which is English all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's great. Well, that's good. Yeah. And do they ever do they ever try to pretend that they don't know English first to give you a hard time, or is it they just accept it?
I don't know. We're getting a lot of funny looks. Mm. Like, I think we look Swedish enough that they assume we are, you know, and we're in like parts of Sweden that, you know, no tourist is going to be, you know?
Sure.
So I think then suddenly we're like super loud Americans and they're like, what?
So where are you now? Like, what is the city? I'm all just curious about all these things.
Well, okay. So I don't want to offend any Swedish people.
Okay.
So you got to be careful. So we're in a town called Hamakulin.
Uh-huh.
And it is the ghetto.
It's the ghetto of Sweden. Who knew they had one? No, and I
thought it was so funny. I kept joking because I knew we were going to be here for a month, and people kept saying on Facebook like, oh, that's the ghetto. I'm like, come on, no ghetto in Sweden. And of course I'm picturing like the ghetto is just a bunch of really good looking white blonde people.
Yeah.
No, it is where all the immigrants come, basically.
I see. So they have their own, they get their own kind of issues that way. Interesting.
So we had a little basketball game two nights ago with a guy from Serbia and a couple of kids from Iran.
Those Serbians love basketball. So
loves it. Yeah. And he said, asked us where, you know, in his terrible English, where we were from. And we said Utah, and he's like, Utah Jazz. And
oh, that's
super,
awesome.
Super into it. And what was funny is, so Swedish would be our common language, so we could not communicate. It was so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, the love of basketball is universal, so that's good.
And you're there how long? How long are you in the slums of?
We're only here for a month.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like a lot.
I know. It's a bit. And part of that is we have to find something else. And I'll tell you what, do not move here. There is nowhere to live.
Yeah, they're all out of room, right?
Ah, they're all out of room. So, you know, a rental will come up and 20 people go and see it. And, you know, anyway, so we have like one we went to go look at. And the guy calls us as we're driving to it. He's like, sorry, we just signed a contract with someone else. So that's really kind of the norm.
That's kind of the common thing. And they don't, they're not going to give you a shot. If they, somebody else makes an offer, they're just going to take it.
Well, it's not even a money thing. It is a first come, if I like you or I don't. So, you know, I keep thinking, please be pro-American. Please be pro-American. Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like it's kind of a handicap, to be honest.
Sure.
Anyway, so we just looked at a farmhouse that was built in the 1800s that is the coolest that thing
sounds,
I've ever seen.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, it is amazing. And up the road is a lake where you know, go to the edge and swim all day. And this is my problem. I keep getting my hopes up and they keep getting dashed. So I'm planning on it not getting it, but we'll see.
That would be amazing. Holy crap.
Got our foot in the door.
Yeah.
And lots of guest space. So if anyone wants to visit.
How are so the kids holding up? Everyone's good?
Yeah, they're doing good.
Good.
Yeah, crazy. I don't know. Who knew? Who knew they were this tough?
Well, you know, kids are resilient, you know?
Yeah. By the way, it's Abe's birthday today.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say, happy birthday to Abe, everybody. Abraham Dunford.
Officially 9.
Officially 9, yeah. He's been officially 13 for a while, but literally 9, so that's great. Happy birthday to him.
Yeah.
May he get some free meatballs or who knows what you do there.
Yeah. Well, in our neck of the woods, you get some really funky pizza and a weird ice cream cake.
Hold on. A funky pizza. Explain what funky pizza is.
Yeah. Think of the weirdest things you would put on a pizza. And that's what people put on pizzas around here. Like just funky meats. Egg. Like egg does not belong on a pizza.
I agree. Like weird fish and things like that.
Yeah, shrimp and weird cheeses and salami that tastes like
it's like that movie. It's like that Rotten Tomatoes movie.
Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
They had this pizza place that couldn't use tomato sauce, so they used everything else. It reminds me of that a little bit. Well, I'm glad you made it and things are okay and that you guys are good. And, you know, the family's been following via other means, but the fans of the show have not heard. They've been all listening to the therapy show and it sounds like you're here still. So
do I sound rested and normal?
You kind of do now. You don't sound jet lagged or anything. And that's good, I guess.
Yeah, it's better. What's weird, and this is going to sound so stupid for anyone who knows more than one language, maybe.
Hmm.
But I can't seem to form full sentences in English anymore. Like, I'm struggling to remember words. And it's not like I speak Swedish, people. It isn't like it's hard because I have another language. It's just, I can't explain it. Like, I can't quite speak normally.
Having another language around you. Maybe another language around you is just creating a dissonance there or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I keep, I got to take a picture and send you this. What was it? Fart is in so many signs on the side of the road. I can't even tell you. So it is a 9-year-old boy's dream everywhere. And there was one, fart lager or something. Anyway, I got to get a picture of it. And the image on the thing is really funny too.
Yeah.
So you're constantly like pretending you're Swedish and reading all these words. And it's somehow messing with me.
You're
brain.
In fart, and fart land.
A lot of fart jokes. Yeah,
that's great. Fart joke. That's what you want.
It's good.
Well, we're gonna soldier on as if nothing was ever any different. It's as if you're still here in Salt Lake City. It's still 9 a.m. for you, and you're gonna tell us about how to help this dude. So I'm gonna read an email. We got an email to read, and first of all, just real quick, thanks everybody out there for all your amazing comments about the therapy show. We really enjoy making those episodes. Some of which will be made. Some of the latter part of the season will be made from Sweden. Well, at least her. But we've got lots of just amazing feedback so far, and people are really digging it. So thanks for all of that. We appreciate it.
Cool.
Here is today's question. Comes from Miles, and it goes like this. Dear Wendy, Brian, and Scott, I suffer from a problem that has affected me for the last several years, and with no end in sight, I thought I would seek the help of experts as well as Scott. Ah, ha, ha. Get it. The issue I suffer from is what I call awkward anxiety. It is now to the point of near panic attack levels. Caveat with this is this. It is only when I witness awkward situations, usually in movies or television shows, or on shows like The Office or even 21 Jump Street movie scene will take place that is so socially awkward to me, it causes me to feel like there is a heavy weight on my chest and I am suffocating. I kind of can relate to this with one TV show from like 2004. We may get to that here in a minute.
One?
Yeah. Well, Lost, back in the early days of Lost, that show used to do this to me. I used to just feel very, very uncomfortable. Wow. I used to have to get up and walk around and like not be in the room for a while. It was weird. It's the only show I can think of that ever does this. I can watch a horror movie with like some slasher flick, no problem. But something about Lost put me in a place. Anyway, when this takes place, I always find a reason to excuse myself from the room. Usually I get food or something to drink just so I can get away from it. What makes this even more of a struggle is I have no problem with any of this in my day-to-day life. I am a director and of a dietary department of a hospital and frequently give trainings and PowerPoint discussions to large groups. It's large groups, so he's not like he's afraid of, you know, a bunch of people being in the room.
Yeah, it's not your basic fear of...
No. It's weird. For all intents and purposes, I am an extrovert, but an extrovert who can't handle other people's awkwardness. Even repeating the MST3K motto does not help. Quote, it's just a show. I should really just relax. Unquote. Is there a way to overcome this, or should I give up on enjoying these kinds of shows? P.S. Even Scott stories have been known to elicit this response from me from time to time. So if I tell the poo bag story or the, you know, some awkward thing that happened on the track, like yesterday with the guy's noodle out, you know, that'll get this guy going. Yeah, some guy jogged past me with his wiener out. Well, it was more of a scrotum, if you want to get specific.
Okay.
Anyway, point is this, Wendy.
If you want to put a fine point on it.
Yeah. If you want to get that specific. So this sounds like a thing that the Johnsons do sometimes with real social situations. Like if you're at a restaurant and mom's being weird or whatever, we have this tendency to like want to cover that up real quick or talk over it or fix it or something. I don't think this is quite the same as that, but what is this that elicits this in entertainment forms, but not in his normal everyday life?
Yeah. When I first read this before I got to the last paragraph, I thought, oh, how can he listen to Scott's stuff?
Right.
Because you have a lot of awkward moments.
Oh, always. That half the entertainment of the first half hour of the show is all about some weird thing I ran into and had an experience with, running over birds or whatever.
So I think one of the answers why this guy has it, if he had said he was an introvert and he had this problem, I would have been really surprised. But an extrovert, at least a self-proclaimed extrovert, someone who really relates well to people, gets energies when they're at a party rather than having it suck their energy, that type of personality, where they're socially capable and probably socially successful. I mean, you don't become a director of a department for no reason, right?
Yeah.
Means he can observe another person, pick up on their cues, the feelings, the facial expressions. He has all of those skills. Was that an English word? Skills?
Skills. Oh, yeah, what?
It is an English word.
I guess.
Skills.
Daryl's last name.
Do I sound weird? I feel like I sound weird.
No,
anyway.
But that is, you know what? I really want to chronicle this. Somebody's going to help me with this. We're going to take samples of what you say today, and then slowly over time, we're going to keep accumulating them and see if your voice changes over time.
Right.
The sweetification of Wendy.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I'll be blonde. It'll be awesome. Yeah. Anyway, but I think what's really happening is that he hyper perceives situations. It's like a normal power in his regular life. And it tends to get sort of hijacked with entertainment, probably because whoever created that program and wanted it to be awkward. Like I'm trying to think of, I think it's The Office. If this guy's watched the British version, it would have killed him. I mean, it is so awkward.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, and you know why that humor works is that it takes the social norms we're all following in an interaction and then putting a whole lot of time between breaks and saying the worst thing ever and sort of smiling. I mean, you think of all the ways that Ricky Gervais, you know, creates that feeling, creates that tension.
Yeah.
For somebody who's very in tune to all of that, if that were a real life scenario, you know, that guy would be dying.
Yeah.
I would be dying.
We all would. That, especially the British office. Forget the American one. The freaking British one is the moments of awkwardity. Oh, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So he really is normal. So what's happening, though, is that it sounds like he's created a panic attack. And let me explain how you create a panic attack. around something that all of us experience to some degree or another, right? So it's like his superpower has gone haywire, right? So I can do this with people, and I can lead a department, and I can talk in a meeting, and I can see that person's bored, so I'm going to change my voice, or, you know, whatever, all that stuff he does in his regular life to be successful. When he comes to a show, and that's the weird thing, and I've had this experience too. I'm sitting there, I know I'm the only one in the room. It's not like it's a real socially awkward situation, but it might as well be, right? Like, it is so strange how, and really what it is that our brain doesn't know the difference. It feels the awkwardness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it, hey, it's just a show. What are you doing?
Sure.
Or you're by yourself. Why are you at, you know, that voice in your head that sort of the reality check that this isn't matter. You're still experiencing all of those sort of feelings. Well, the fact that he has pressure on his chest. I mean, so Scott, if you go back to your lost, early, awkward, have to leave the house days, what, do you remember pressure on your chest?
Yeah, I do. I remember a lot of tension in my, just generally a lot of muscle tension, period, from when I would watch that early season of Lost. But specifically, yeah, tightness in your chest was a thing that I would feel.
Okay. Because that's very typical of a panic attack, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You get the symptoms of a heart attack, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. You get shallower breathing.
Well, what sucks about it is you think it's one, and that makes it worse.
Right.
Because when you're actually having, I don't know anybody out there has actually had a panic attack, but they freaking suck. And when you have them, you think all the worst possible things are happening, but all of them, it's all just mimic. It's all like fake. But it feels as real as the real deal. I mean, it's
right. It's and that's what is so awful about them, is that because in the moment you're having the physiological response of an emergency, your brain is going, okay. And it, you know, it survived this long by following protocol when there's an emergency, which is go to the ER, get yourself some help.
Yeah.
You
know, I would say the worst thing about them isn't that. That's the second worst thing about them. The absolute worst thing about them is that nobody who's never experienced it understands. That's the worst thing. Because if you don't know what that feels like, you have no relatability, you have no empathy, really. And so trying to explain it or trying to have people understand it is near nigh impossible unless they've gone through it themselves.
Right. And even if you had somebody who's gone through an emergency experience where they really are having a heart attack, or they really are having, you know, there's something happening in their body that is, you know, crucial that they seek attention for right away, that feeling is no different than the feeling you have, but then imagine it meant nothing at the end. You get there and they say, are you stressed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're sort of, they go through the medically you're fine, and then they go through the, okay, this is mental.
Right.
Right. And then you get to that thing. And so, yeah, you're right. No one can really relate, because you also can't get that feeling of how can I be fooled by my body? Basically, right? I mean, that's essentially what's happening, is that your body fools your mind. Your mind believes it because it needs to, for survival reasons. Even though you want to talk yourself out of it, there's still a, but I could die if I don't go.
Right.
Or I, you know, whatever. So he has a different, I mean, he doesn't have the I'm going to die panic. He's got the, this is so stinking awkward. My body is responding in a way that's kind of fight or flight, right? Like, get away from this. Feeling, because it's terrible. It's so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe not the level of I'm going to die, but it's a cousin to it for sure, which is get me out of the space, my heart, you know, not maybe that it's going to stop, but all that pressure.
Is it because he feels like maybe if this was happening to him for real, he could control it? And because it's not, it's a thing that's on play. I'm going to tell a story on TMS and there's nothing he can do about it. Or that TV show is going to show this thing and there's nothing he can do about it. That's the factor here, is that he doesn't have any measure of control over it other than he has to leave the room.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel that way with certain things.
Well, I think it actually might be that he has a couple stories going on.
Yeah.
And one is, what is wrong with me that this is a problem? Like, I'm a normal guy. How come I'm panicking when I watch a TV show and I can't stay in the room? And it also sounds like it's getting worse.
Yeah.
This is not getting better.
Yeah.
So you feel dumber and dumber, and like, what am I, you know, what am I doing at this point? Right. So that's actually the key to what I think he needs to do. This is something, and you know, not that I'm, maybe I am always telling people to go to therapy, but this is a quick fix therapy kind of thing. Like two sessions, you're done. Because really what you need to do is have someone else, and it could be a friend if you want to try it this way, but someone else know the ins and outs of this, even though it's embarrassing to talk about and say it out loud, but kind of express all of this. And this is the feeling, and have that person sort of normalize, like, yeah, a lot of us feel that way. Because what's happening, and the reason I can say this with a little bit of confidence, is that it's increasing and it's getting worse, is that he's doing some type of behavior, whether it's thinking patterns or it's physical behavior, that is strengthening the panic. Right.
Right.
So maybe it's okay. He's watching a show and he is already nervous about an awkward thing coming. Right. Or he's checked it beforehand to see what's in it, to make sure it's not going to be awkward, or whatever it might be, but he's doing lots of behavior to prep himself to panic.
Yeah.
And how we do that is we tell a story and we gear up, you know, we're all ready to not be the guy that's panicking about an awkward office episode or whatever. So then he watches it. And then the feeling's going to come. So he's actually creating, inadvertently making this worse by creating stories around it, prepping for it, leaving the room when it's awkward. That's one, another thing. So he really needs somebody to walk through all the steps that he takes physically, all of his actions, also all the thinking that he uses.
Mm.
And then break it down somewhere, intervene somewhere, and probably, you know, self training and relaxation in the moment that he feels the panic is a good start. Because really the key here is you feel a loss of power, right? Yeah. And you said this earlier, he feels a loss of power. So if in the moment that he's feeling this panic and there's weight on his chest, he can gain some power, and the power doesn't always get regained and often is the opposite by just turning it off and walking away.
Right.
Because you don't have any power over watching an awkward situation. Your only power is to walk away. And that doesn't feel like power when you're panicking. Right. Mm. So maybe someone could walk him through, what is he doing? And really the insight he might gain from what this is really about just by processing it could be pretty valuable too.
Is it possible that you mentioned before how you didn't see any of the imagery of 9/11 the day it happened or after.
Yeah.
You will hear about a thing and then you will not see any, you'll not necessarily actively avoid it, but you know, if you know something's going to be someplace, you're like, I don't need to see that. I don't want to see that or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it possible that he just needs to employ that kind of thinking? Like he knows his triggers now, it seems like. If it's something about awkward things, I mean, he even suggested his emails, he just need to quit watching these kinds of things. Well, maybe that's it. You know, I know that I have certain triggers for things for me, and it's best for me not to, you know, it's best for me to avoid greasy beef, for example, or I'm going to have problems. So I have to avoid those and not subject myself to those. What's the difference here? It's a different physiology, but isn't it kind of the same principle at play?
That's got to be such a hard thing to try to avoid, though. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's like, don't be human, dude. Just don't.
Well, yeah, because our stories, humans need stories, right? And all of our stories have these kinds of conflicts, and all of it involves some kind of human interaction that involves some kind of humiliation or you know, confusion or whatever, these things that elicit these feelings in him. So yeah, I mean, it'd be a tall order to avoid all that, but
it doesn't sound like in person he's having a panic attack when something's awkward, because there's enough awkwardness in normal life.
Sure.
That's a sustainable level for him. Like, it's not too bad. It's contrived and orchestrated awkwardness, right?
Yeah.
That is extreme. And he's right. It is extreme. Maybe the rest of us have just gotten used to it, and he's still responding as if he saw it for the first time. I remember I hadn't seen a movie in the theater for, I can't even tell you how long. I mean, it seemed like so long. And I think it was The Bourne Identity, one of them, that I went to see. And it, you know, the handheld camera and Jason Bourne.
Yeah, the shaky cam.
Yeah. And like kicking everyone like right in the face and like really fast movement. I was literally cowering in my seat. Like I wanted to leave a lot, and I had to close my eyes and plug my ears a lot. Like, it was so loud and, you know, in my face. And after I watched a bunch more movies and got more used to it, I could go back and see that movie in a theater and it would not have bothered me at all. But my sensitivity was huge because I hadn't, we lived in Vermont, I think is what happened. I swear they don't have a theater there. But anyway, so it was like 3 or 4 years without seeing a movie in a theater, which is a long time. So my point is that is he sensitized? Are the rest of us desensitized and he just can't get desensitized? He just can't stop picking it up. So yes, could he reduce his intake of awkward TV shows? Sure, absolutely. Like I have a, it's sucks for Adam, but it's just real. Like I don't watch very many sad anything.
Yeah.
Like I have enough real life interaction with hard things. I don't necessarily want to fill my free time with.
Yeah, you don't want to come home from a rough thing and then go, all right, I'm now going to settle into this really awesome episode of CSI where it's all about rape and murder. Let's do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, Hotel Rwanda was on our Netflix queue for, I think, 8 years.
It's on mine, too. I still haven't been able to bring myself to watch it.
And I'll tell you, and you know what? Netflix is actually, of course, track that. And that is the longest standing movie in anyone's queue. And there's a reason.
Wow. Oh, that's
when are
great.
You in the mood? When? Never. Like, never.
Yeah.
So, anyway, my point is, like, I think there's some avoiding that is fine and natural and probably healthy when you know your stuff and you need to, you know, be careful. If he's avoiding all human contact to avoid awkwardness, that would be a different story. But it doesn't sound like that's really the problem. It's more of his media choice. So, the other thing he could do with a therapist or someone who at least has a clue about this would be exposure therapy options, which are instead of running from the problem, you run into the problem. So, and it would be so easy because there's definitely a genre of awkward that has come out in the last little bit that is, it'd be so easy to set them up with 10 things to watch. And what he would do, so it works. I'll give you the idea, basic idea with OCD that tends to be one everyone gets, the hand washing bit. So we'll do that. So if I had you touch a doorknob, so I would have you touch a doorknob, your worst fear, right? It's full of germs. It's going to make you freak out. You're going to think about all those bugs and have you touch the doorknob. And then what you do is you teach them self-soothing. You teach them how to relax. And you spread out the time between touching the doorknob and washing your hands. And eventually your brain, so OCD, or in this case, maybe not to the extent of OCD, but there's sort of a glitch switch where when awkward happens, he responds with anxiety, right?
Yeah.
The rest of us can feel the awkwardness and be like, yeah, let's move out of this situation. Okay, better, you know, but we don't leave with something's wrong with me because I just panicked about something awkward. You know, we don't now carry that around. We have let it go. And the rest of us can touch a dirty doorknob and maybe not even notice.
Yeah,
and part of that is, because our brain doesn't pick up on the reality. We probably just touched that 5,000 bugs. It's probably true. But it jumps on. And then the way it gets worse is that we connect the obsession, which is the germs, to the compulsion, which is the behavior of washing your hands. So you spread out the time between the O and the C, and you train them to relax. So physiologically, you trick your body because your body's being tricked already.
Mm. It's just and wired now that the trick is wired into you. So you got to untrick it or retrick it.
Rewire it. And so it would be some sort of systematic relaxation kind of thing. It would be exposure and then be calm and that type of thing. So he may be hearing this and going, wow, that's a lot of work. And, you know, if he really wants to watch all these awkward shows and not have this problem, it might be the answer. But it really, I don't think would take very long. This doesn't seem like a very pathological deal. It just sounds like it's getting worse.
Just ramping up. Yeah.
He's ramping up because he's feeding it behaviorally. Yeah. And the storyline he has going on is adding to it.
Because so I have a perspective on this that I think is maybe helpful. I don't know, but it sounds what you described and what this seems like is a lot like I deal with now with food, and I'm having to kind of rewire the way I think about food. In his case, it's like, it's not just that a show makes him feel that way. Now he's starting to think about the potential that he may walk into that room and the show may be on and he may feel this way. Like he's obsessing about the, about things that haven't happened yet.
The potential. Yeah.
And I do that with food now. And it's, these things come on because of trauma or whatever the reasons are. In my case, you know, a really nasty, horrible diverticulitis thing that happened in January. And since then I am downright paranoid about food. And so anybody says, hey, we're going over to the so-and-so's for dinner. Whoa, what are they having? I don't know. We're guests. They don't really give us the menu. Kim's like, you know, we'll say something like that. And I'll be like, oh boy. And then in my head, I'm thinking, oh, if they're going to have beef, I'm going to have to turn it down. Or if they're going to have all these things I can't do now, I'm going to have to turn this down. I'm going to think about all the awkward moments of why isn't Scott eating anything but the salad we made, you know, and none of it's happened yet. Like, I understand how it feels to start to wire yourself to be overly, I mean, I guess it's the definition of paranoia, I guess.
Right.
Some level of that or some form of that. So I understand how that is. And it's really a struggle for me to not do that, to not think of it that way, to just let it be whatever it's going to be and not stress that, oh, it's all pizza, isn't it? or whatever. And just go in not like that. Cause then sometimes I can make myself way worse than I would if I ate the food.
Right.
So
right.
Well, in his case, don't you, I mean, I feel like he's doing the same thing. He's just,
yeah, absolutely.
He's predicting and catastrophizing like we talk about all the time about a thing that hasn't happened yet.
Well, and it's all for amazing reasons. It's because we're wired to protect ourselves.
Right.
So you've had a bad experience and you're going to avoid that at all costs. And the problem is the brain in its genius is also stupid and it will continue to do around a thing that really is kind of ridiculous. So you could go to that meal and turn down food and people would be like, okay. You could say I'm gluten-free, vegan, crazy person with my food. And they'd be like, okay, because that's a thing, right? But you have made everything leading up to that moment something, potentially something else. And that is a self-protective plan. I'm going to plan this. I'm going to know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have, okay, I'm not going to go. I mean, you could respond in a ton of different behavioral ways. But mainly what the main thing you're doing is the storytelling that leads up to all of that keeps you in a hyper state of preparedness. I am ready. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to avoid this. And you do all of those things to protect yourself from having, in your case, a gastrointestinal issue. Mm-hmm. And in his case, feeling like he can't breathe and, you know, his heart's being crushed. And, you know, think of that happening with all of his friends sitting there or, you know, however you can make this story worse. And that is exactly the point in having those moments occur and seeing that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right. You have to get into the behaving and the, you know, in his case, probably learning to relax and to manage the physiology so that he knows he has options, right? Because what is planning? That planning, oh no, the neighbors asked us to dinner. What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? You're planning. You're preparing and planning. And there really are legitimate ways to prepare and plan.
That's a panicky plan though.
Yeah, it's a crazy story plan. It's the, I heard a noise in the night and it's some dude with a knife, not the cat.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, right. And yeah. We really do. I mean, I think some of us come by this more honestly. It just kind of happens. I mean, here's a perfect example. I'm in the ghetto for real, people. And it just doesn't bother me. Like, I don't want to live here. I don't want to have my kids, you know, I don't even know where the school is. It's not like, and there is a lot of trash on the ground. Abe is obsessed with the trash on the ground. He's like, do they not know you don't litter? I'm like, honey. There's a lot of trash in there.
I'm surprised by this. I thought, for some reason, I had in my head that Sweden was like this utopia of cleanliness or something. I don't know.
It is. It is, other than maybe right where we are. in fact, and I'll give you a perfect example. So I went running the other day, and you know, the guy who was our place is nice. It's just not in a nice building or area, right? Sure, but the actual apartment's nice, and the guy's this cute miniature dude from named Fernando.
He's a miniature dude.
Oh, he is tiny. Anyway, okay. So of course he speaks Spanish and Swedish and we don't speak either of those. So it's been funny, but he, is like, always lock the door, never let anyone in. I mean, he's so paranoid,
yeah.
Which, you know, probably for good reason. I'm kind of a dingbat like this because I tend to just trust people. Anyway, I went running the other morning, and there's other neighborhoods, and I ran through some neighborhoods, and then I found the woods. Oh my gosh, you should see the woods here. It is the most glorious, beautiful place you've ever seen. And I'm jogging through the woods, and I'm like, this is probably really stupid by myself. And I don't really know. I have a terrible sense of direction too. So I'm like, okay, what path am I on? And all of a sudden I come around a corner and there's some dude washing his pants in the stream.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And he's like a homeless camping kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just turn around and jog back and I laugh and I think it's funny. And I'm just not wired to be afraid in that situation. I just think, oh, that's funny. And I should go the other way. Move probably. On, yeah. I don't know. And I know people, and we keep having this running joke that I keep naming friends of mine who would die if they were here. Would die.
I know one of them.
I know all of them. Yeah. I think everyone I know. And I think part of it is just sort of the storytelling that goes on, or how you, to me, I see this as this great opportunity for my kids to see people from all over the world, play a little basketball with some Iranian kids. I mean, when are they going to do that? Never. And so, you know, anyway, and it's not that I'm better than anyone or whatever. It's just, I don't have a lot of stories in my head.
Yeah.
I'm like Emmett on the Lego movie. It is so empty in here. I can't even think of the ideas of, you know, something terrible to happen. Like, I just don't go to a place of anxiety. It just doesn't happen. Whereas I think you have that where you go there. Your thoughts are, this guy might get up and kill me with his Swedish knife. And you probably wouldn't be running in the woods by yourself either. But maybe you would. I don't know. But it again goes back to this storytelling. So if the story keeps us from behaving in ways that are sort of open and healthful, that's a word, they tend to keep us closed and avoiding. That's why I don't love your solution of him avoiding the movies and the awkward situations, because I think that can backfire.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. Plus, there's always this, like, you'll start to feel like you're missing something, too.
Yeah.
That's like,
you'll go so long without it that once it finally, if you stumble onto something that has that awkward situation, it'll be even more devastating because you've been avoiding it for so long.
Yeah, that's true. Right. I agree with that.
And think about that for a second, that it's like a muscle, like sort of what Brian just said. It is, he has to figure out this social skill. He has a ton of other ones, probably too good, which is why this is so painful for him. He just has to learn how to not hear it as much or feel it as much, and then learn how to relax and not let this win. And, you know, I think he needs some support as he does it. But it will be quick. This is not a big, I just want to emphasize, this is not a 10 years in therapy. This is a couple visits, or, you know, you find someone who does, cognitive behavioral therapy would work great with this. Anyone who does some exposure kinds of work would be, you know, they would love this case. This would be quick and fast.
Yeah. Well, this is one I want to hear back on. For whatever reason, it intrigues me. Maybe because it sounds like stuff I deal with. I don't know. But I find it super interesting.
Scott, have you ever seen those episodes of Lost again?
Yeah, I have. I've re-seen the whole series since then, and it didn't bother me at all the second time. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because it was so new.
Were you nervous about it?
No. I don't know. Because keep in mind, this only occurred early in the first season. And then I watched the whole thing up through season 6 or 7, whatever it was when they ended. And had seen it all. And then, so at that point, that's not there anymore. And so I didn't even think twice when I watched it again. It was like, no big deal.
So, who is it? Is it Wagner? I don't know. There was that concert where the first time everyone heard it, they started going crazy and screaming and fighting with each other.
Yeah. It was Wagner, and it was the Valkyrie Scream. One. Wasn't it the Flight of the Valkyrie or the... No, I don't know.
No, I know
what you're talking about, though. There was a thing.
But that is the perfect example of, like, the first time in human history they're hearing dissonant chords, and it just made them go nuts, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Lost is as big as Wagner, but I think... I remember watching that too, going like, what are we doing? Like, this is crazy different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the new awkward in so many shows was also brand new in history. to take everything awkward and put it in a show. I mean, The Office is 100% awkwardness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that was revolutionary. And so maybe it's just like for him hearing Wagner, he's like, whoa, I just can't do it.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the brown. It's his brown note, you know, it's his.
Oh, geez. It's brown note.
Or something.
I swear, whenever I'm with multiple toddlers, the brown note is played.
It's playing right then. Yeah. For Peter, anyway.
It's the worst.
Seriously. Well, I'm glad that you're there and getting at least temporarily settled before you have to move on. It's evening there, right? Right now?
Yeah, it's almost 6.
You're so energetic at 5:30 to 6 at night.
Yeah, I shouldn't be.
I think
it's because of
great.
This farmhouse. I need everyone.
Send your vibes.
Pray to like Vishnu. I don't care who you pray to, but just throw one up for me to get this freaking farmhouse.
Which one's Vishnu? Vishnu's the one with the many arm. It's like the many armed elephant looking thing, right? Is that Vishnu? Okay.
Yeah.
Brian, you do Vishnu. I'll do Buddha or something.
Sounds good. I need everyone.
Okay.
Please farmhouse. Do not offer my God a peanut.
Well, good luck with it. Let us know how it goes. And let's do this again next week.
Okay.
All right. It's Wendy Dunford, right. Everybody. Stay out of the meatballs or whatever.
Hey, by the way, do your one thing you always do. That's your Swedish impression. I just need you here.
Which one? How I do?
The Gabort or whatever.
The Gabort. You mean like
Javort?
Oh, Javort 9. Oh, that's usually German though. When I do that.
Oh, because it sounds so much like the Swedes.
Does
it's
it really?
Weird.
Are they very? Yeah, like that kind of like yelling.
I swear I heard some, not yelling, they're quiet, but I heard someone say Javort, I swear. And I was like, whoa, Scott is here.
Go to IKEA, everybody, just to celebrate Wendy's new life. All right. Well, let's talk soon. Stay out of trouble. My best to the family. We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye now.
All right.
Bye.
All right. She was saying goodbye, Brian, and I cut her off.
I did not mean
to do that. You know what's cracking me up about this day?
What's that?
You were just in a car. Just hanging out in the car.
Just sitting in the car.
I feel bad a little bit about where you're at.
Oh, God.
You're a trooper, dude.
It's far better than when I sat in the car yesterday for 11 hours.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Good point. I was going to say, this put you in the car for like, 13 hours now. You've been in the car.
Yes.
And we're going to do it again later today. We do have some quick emails. Let's get to those real fast. They're brought to you by
Same Sex Mary. They're heading to Tucson, Arizona next week to record their second full-length album, but they need your help. Recording isn't cheap, but their records and t-shirts are. Just head over to samesexmary.bandcamp.com and check out all of the epic loot they have listed for sale. That's samesexmary.bandcamp.com.
That's awesome.
And they have the t-shirts are going quickly, so if you want something your size, get over there soon. Hit them up soon.
Recommended. Yes. Hey, Cisco and Bashir. That's a good one. I haven't heard that before.
Yep. No, I'm surprised.
Tom or Anorax wrote in and says, after hearing your construction worker man falls through the open manhole cover story. Actually, it wasn't a manhole, but it was a... I showed you. I sent a picture to Brian, so he's seen it.
Yes, I saw the hole. Yeah.
It's just a big ditch. Right. I guess I could send that on Twitter. But anyway, it reminded me of a teenager working at Dunkin' Donuts in my hometown a few years ago. He went to take the trash out, fell through an open manhole cover, and ended up breaking his arm on the way down and drowned to death once he got to the bottom. Sorry for being so morbid, though. Tom. Ugh. Jeez, Tom. Sheesh.
Yeah, you're expecting this to be a really comical story. Like, oh, silly Dunkin' Donuts.
No, it ends. It's a grim ending. That right there. Joshua Spell wrote in. So, Scott, I'm way behind on TMS listing and just got to your story of Laquita. This is the lady with the poo bag on her face. The poor older lady that you gave a very steamy cheek warmer to. I've never written into the show when I'm listening to any podcast much later, but I just had to let you know that you very literally had me rolling in my chair, not on the floor, sadly, with hysterical tear running laughter. I laughed so hard for so long that I now have a massive headache. Totally worth it. Love the ho-ho, Joshua.
Nice.
Always glad to know that story continues to live on in the hearts of the people. So there you go. Congratulations. And those are your emails. If you want to send emails in, you can real easy. themorningstream@gmail.com. And we're happy to take them. Please keep them coming. I don't know if Cleo's around, but let me see.
She's in the chat room, so hopefully, yeah.
All right, let's do that. I assume she's come with bearing gifts. We shall find out one way or the t'other when we bring her in here. Cleo... Leo, are you there? Hello? Cleo.
Cleo.
Hello? She's there.
Says she's there.
She know, I know, hear her.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Oh, hi, how are you? You hear us?
Good, how are you?
Ooh, the lag is
hover.
Breathtaking.
Hover over the router.
Yeah, go by the router. Run by the router. You're lagging real bad, but we'll probably make it work. How is it now?
I don't know. How is it now?
It's laggy, but we're going to try. Let's see how this goes.
Let's try.
Cleo
it out.
Comes on the show on Thursdays, and she rounds up the best moments. The funny stuff chat room says, dumb stuff we say, things our guests say, whatever, man. That's what she does, and we love it. And Cleo's got a list today, I'm sure. And what is it, Cleo? Go.
I almost want to just sit here and purposely lag out for you guys. Just talk very slowly.
That'd be so sweet.
Okay, here we go. Reasons the dog hates Daryl.
All right.
Diddy said the best one of the day. Diddy said he had on a red shirt.
That's very, very creative.
That's right, yes.
Very good. We have a lot of those today of the tadpool contributing to a like a question that I asked them. So those are going to be the big winners today.
All right.
In other news, purple douchey jogger man with his man accessories out for the world to see. Thorin wants to know where your headphones ended up.
Tell him nowhere near that guy. We're fine. Everything's fine.
Near his doodle. Yeah. Okay. With regarding the bones that were found in the IKEA bags.
Yeah.
ICU wants to know if the instructions. That's a hell of a do-it-yourself project. Please check to see if all 206 pieces are included before you begin.
That's pretty good. Nice. Boy, they are creative this week, man.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah.
It's not all it's not all wiener
we
jokes at this
point. We have one from today.
Yeah. Sorry, she's lagging.
Today is the Vatican News. I'm going to shut up.
You're fine. Your internet does not want to participate, but that's okay. We're willing to live with it. All right, go.
I'm really glad people gave me a totem. You guys are awesome. Thanks. Okay, let's see. The Vatican newsletter, clearly printed in Comic Sans, needed a little title, and the tadpole delivered. Jester said it's called Cardinal Sinner. Fletchia said it's called All the Poop on the Pope.
Yeah.
And it's called The Holy Sheet.
Ah, The Holy Sheet. Nicely done.
And the big winner for the entire week, I asked the tadpole for names for Veronica's slightly questionable segment title.
Okay.
The V-Spot. Come Play with Veronica.
Okay.
Virtual Veronica.
Oh, geez.
Veronica's Joystick, and my personal favorite, Blowing the Cartridge.
Oh, man.
How about a boobie?
That's rough. That's some pretty rough business. I'll bet she goes for.
How about a boobie?
None of those things, but we'll have to see. Nicely done, Chad Tadpool, and nicely done, Cleo. You always collect the best stuff. It's always fun to talk to you. I hope you have a fantastic day.
You too, Brian. Be careful in the parking lot.
Yeah,
will do.
Don't take any wooden nickels.
If only I had some tacos.
Yeah, if only you can get those there. Have one of those card flickers go get you a bag. It'd be fine.
There you go. I'm sure they would. Yes.
That completes our show for today. Although there is a TMSPM later, all things willing. Brian and I will hook up again and bring you a little more good fun. We'll see how it rolls and how it goes for you. You just keep me informed on where you're at and what's going on.
I should be in the room then because my roommate won't be sleeping.
Yeah, he'll be awake. That's true.
He'll be awake.
That's another thing. If you ever want, if you ever question who the nicest guy in podcasting is, it's the guy who leaves the room and goes into a car to do his podcast so he doesn't wake his roommate. That's a really nice thing. Nice gesture.
Aww.
You should be asleep yourself, for hell's sakes.
I should be, yes. I got an hour and a half of sleep last night.
Well, that's plenty then.
Yeah.
Justin, I don't have to tell it on the air, but Justin gave you the nicest compliment yesterday, and I agree with him. He just said
really?
Yeah, he said the nicest thing about you, which is totally true.
Are you going to tell me what it is?
I'll tell you what it is. He just thinks it's a long story as to why we were talking about it, but he just says you're just the consummate podcasting pro and and you just know like when to say stuff, when not to say stuff, how to say stuff. You get it. Like he was just super compliment. And we didn't record it because it was all off air, but he couldn't stop talking about it. So look at that little soft Jerry moment where
what a nice guy.
I know,
Jerry.
Right? It was just like patting you on the virtual head.
And his beard.
It's this thing to behold.
Brian Brushwood.
Oh, watch, by the way, right after we're done here, I'll be posting the video that my daughter put together from Nerdtacular that finally got done. You guys are going to freaking love it. It's amazing.
Ooh, cool.
So watch for that. So that's coming up. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, you can find us at MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Did Coverville go up yesterday?
It did, yeah. So it's an episode of... what the hell was it? It was Elliot Smith, who I realize is dead, and Dire Straits, because Mark Knopfler had a birthday. So Elliot Smith would have had a birthday yesterday had he been alive.
Yeah.
But just keep that in mind when you listen to that show.
Mark Knopfler, Money for Nothing, Chicks for Free, right?
That's the guy, yeah.
Okay, all right, got it.
Sultan of Swing.
Sultan of Swing, exactly. Some of the greatest songs of my youth came out of that guy. Great. So check that out at coverville.com. There's a new boop show today. There's a bunch of new stuff today. So stay tuned for that. And because of your Patreon support at patreon.com/TMS, we will have a Patreon, or we will have a TMS PM later today. That's going to do it. Let's go out with some music. Do you have something for me?
I do. So Ty, a.k.a. Luminous Llama in the Tadpool, says, "Hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
I'm terrible at fake names. Oh, I'm terrible at fake names. My girlfriend got me into the Frog Pants Network through the Instance some time ago, and since then, I've been a fairly regular listener of TMS and every so often a member of the Tadpool.
Yeah.
On August 9th, my girlfriend of nearly 7 years, Steph, will be turning 26, and I wanted to request a song for her to say happy birthday, and I love her. I wanted to request either Sugar Colt's cover of I Melt With You from Punk Goes 80s, or I don't even need to tell you the other one because we have it. Help me, Brian, you're my only hope. Love the show, though. Ty, a.k.a. Luminous Llama in the Tadpool.
Nice.
Oh, we do have that. It's a cover of I Melt With You. I said Modern English. It is Modern English. Yeah, I was confusing them with English Beat. Modern English, I Melt With You, covered by Sugar Cult from the Punk Goes 80s CD. Totally got derailed there.
Yeah, that's all right.
But there it is. There's the request. Play it.
All right, would you? Let's play the damn thing. We'll be back later. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Brian, have a safe, bountiful day in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Afternoon? Yeah, will do.
everybody else, thanks for joining us. Thank you for listening at home. And if you want to catch the live show, we do this every day, Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. Mountain Time. And you can just tune in and watch us. Details at frogpants.com/TMS. We'll see you guys tomorrow. No, tonight.
I saw the world thrashing all around your face. News Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Click, 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 click.